Hey, and welcome back to this Human Nature series on social engineering using Myers-Briggs. So today in this episode, I just wanted to speak more about like my experience with this tool of Myers-Briggs or Union Analytical Psychology, and just to explain how it changes the way you think once you learn to identify these differences, these personality differences and these archetypes. So since Carl Jung was first to develop this system and this idea of cognitive functions and different attitudes of cognitive functions, and realizing that we all have such different perspectives, and there's been so much progress made since then. And just to warn you, it seems once you start going down this rabbit hole of my MBTI and personality typology, it's something that just stays with you. It sort of works in the background, allowing you to learn more and more about certain aspects of yourself and others in a sort of, how can I say? It's almost as if you can pick different pieces apart of yourself apart and analyze them separately, as opposed to having to understand yourself as a whole, which is something that I personally have always struggled with. And what's amazing as well about this is, because I've been studying and learning, all these different systems for more than 5 years now. Wherever I go in the world, seems to transcend race. It seems to transcend culture, and I'm able to recognize people's archetypes, or people's types, personality types, based on things such as micro expressions, the way that they carry themselves. And nowadays, let me let you in on a little secret. Nowadays, I've even got a way of speed typing people, where I just ask you like specific questions, and within like 3 or 4 questions, If I feel like I have a hinge, then I can pretty much figure out quite accurately your personality type. Obviously, confirming it with you through asking a few more questions and having you verify that. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that a lot of you are thinking, well, we don't know ourselves, so how could we even describe ourselves properly, and how could you know? And what does this all really mean? But there are specific patterns that just seem to repeat within these 16 types that you can only find, that you could only that you could use to identify the archetype. And once you do, you tend to understand the person and be able to understand the person once again as a multitude of different functions, as opposed to just one person. Like, for example, I do not look at myself and I do not look at my partner okay, I will reveal what my type is. My type is an INFJ, and my partner is an ENTP. And when I say those type names or type codes, I immediately get a picture of the cognitive functions, because that is what matters to me. And then as I watch people, or as I watch myself throughout the day, something we INFJs tend to love to do, I notice which function I'm in. I notice, it gives me language. The system allows me to have language to describe certain elements of myself that are operating almost against each other sometimes in order to reconcile certain ideas or maybe even conflicting beliefs. And it really does seem sometimes like some of these are more pleasant to be in, and some are more like the optimistic functions versus the pessimistic functions. It really, really does it really does seem as if there's these conversations and this rich inner life inside all of our heads that is going on nonstop. That there's these personalities, at least 8 of them, that are constantly communicating while whether we're aware of it or not. So I think it would be interesting for me to tell you a little bit about what got me into this and how I became so convinced to actually go so deep into the studies of Union Analytical Psychology. And I mean, when it was first introduced to me about 6 years ago, it was also just a friend that's, you know, suggested I take a test, which I did, but I immediately got a feeling like, oh no, somebody's trying to box me, you know, that doesn't work for me, because I've always, my whole life, felt quite different to other people. I'm sure some of you would maybe relate to this, while others would, you know, think it's complete and utter nonsense, but I've always felt alien. And so for me, people used to more so than now misunderstand me and the things, my intentions, as well as just the ways that I express myself, and how that all fits together just seems to get misunderstood quite often. And I've always wondered I've always feared being boxed into the wrong box and therefore just dismissed as somebody I'm not. So I've never been a fan of stereotypes. I've always loved the idea that we can all change. I've always been big into personal development and personal growth, and understanding that there are just so many different things that affect us, and our perception at any time can be altered. So I really, really didn't like the idea. However, when I read the description, I was pretty surprised. I was like, wow, okay, this is general enough not to make me feel like I'm being boxed or stereotyped, and it is quite accurate. It made me wonder how many more people were like me out there, and also pretty. I don't know. I wasn't that interested, but I felt understood. I felt represented, if that makes any sense. But I didn't really carry on with it. I wasn't blown away. I wasn't completely blown away. Until it was a few years after. I'm not the best with time, so bear with me. But I think this was either a year later or even longer that I returned from Ukraine, which is in Europe, back to South Africa. And I was working with an African girl, and I remember while I was talking to her, I immediately saw in her the exact same mannerisms and exact same ways of expression and micro expressions and enthusiasm and choice of words as my best friend in Ukraine. And this seemed very strange to me, because my friend in Ukraine is a complete blonde girl who speaks Russian and is such a free spirit and a unique individual with whom I had a very unique relationship with. and couldn't really find anywhere else. And here's this girl, an African girl, within a completely different culture, speaking a different language, who seems to possess the same qualities. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it. So there was just something there. I immediately remembered the Myers-Briggs test. I also probably looked online for all kinds of tests just to be able to connect this pattern, because it was just so baffling to me that people from completely different countries, cultures, races and backgrounds can actually have such similarities. And so it all began. I began to study Myers-Briggs. I began to go much deeper into it, and I listened to each and every podcast, read every blog, and just began to learn about the functions. And the interesting part is, like, as an INFJ, I enjoy watching myself think. So I enjoy watching my mind form patterns. I enjoy watching ideas just randomly come to me as these NI insights, right? So this time around, I could actually isolate the different parts, and then focus on specific ones, on, for example, either minimizing or strengthening specific cognitive functions that I possess. Just the knowledge that I have a specific preference and that is different to other people, and that combination of different preferences made me quite a rare individual with who probably is compatible with specific other types in certain ways and has much to learn from others. And so this really helped me, I felt in the beginning, helped me to understand myself, understand that there are so many different aspects of me, and that I have, like, some major weaknesses as well, which others might not understand or take very well. So at first, of course, unconsciously, without trying to, I tried to change myself by hiding, or perhaps maybe even over exaggerating other functions that I felt, oh, now that I know that I'm an INFJ, it's okay for me to just stay in the abstract and not do anything, you know. I've got an excuse, because it's like inferior extroverted sensing, so therefore I can just sit in bed all day and, well, a week maybe, and not have a shower or clean my house. So I did that too. But it was when I realized that is not the way to go, and learned about the different growth patterns and how we develop different functions at different ages, and how I'm not going to get along with everybody if I behave in certain ways around people. And I became much more interested in other people as well. Now that I had a system or a way of comparing and at least even just articulating what it is that other people are going through versus, or rather, what it is that other people are seeing in the world, and making how they're making sense of the world versus the way that I am, this just made me so much more interested in other ways of being. And so now, I mean, right until now, I still find that whenever I meet a personality type, any personality type, as soon as I find out what, like, if we meet, as soon as our relationship will probably get more interesting after I find out what your Myers-Briggs type is. And that's not because I'm gonna be able to now box you into that category and be able to socially engineer you and only say specific things around you or do specific things around you, but rather it allows me to understand what what I can actually, what we can gain from one another, and I guess as 9FJ, that would be useful for being useful and making use of time and time spent with other people and being of use to them is very important to me. So this definitely, the fact that I can learn, I know what I can learn from who, and I know what basically other people can do better than me, makes me a lot more relaxed around people that I meet, and not only relaxed but also curious about how much I'm learning and how much I know about the system, because I'm still pretty self-focused like that, but I'm also curious about how these functions actually work, and I began to have like a different kind of appreciation for very different functions, which were supposed to be, I mean, going even beyond what is considered my shadow, I can isolate now and appreciate different functions and the different positions of functions in a very different way. The other day I was at a friend's place, and they have 3 kids. One is 2 years old, the other one's 3, and the other one is 5 years old. And I noticed that I looked at the eldest, who's a girl, and there was something that she said to me. I was not trying to type her, because nowadays this happens on an unconscious level. It's like, really, it's almost like a disease that just does not go away. It's like it completely mind couldn't it. What's the word? Takes it. It's mind control. It takes over your mind, and then this, and then you've got SENITEFI as this sort of language that you can't get rid of in your head. So I wasn't trying to type her at all, but I remember having these, because I developed this fascination lately with crystals, like natural stones and crystals and, you know, all that witchy stuff. And I had these crystals that I'd been collecting, and so I noticed that this little girl asked me for a crystal, and she was very, very interested in it. And I'd also been watching her play, and I noticed how active she is and how much more athletic she is than like her little brothers, for example. And I wondered, could this mean that she's an ISFP? And so I simply asked her mom 2 questions. I asked her mother, does she like to rescue animals? And her mom said, hell yes. And then I asked, does she like to draw and paint? Is she very artistic in that sense? And her mom said, yes. And to me, that was enough to begin to explore her as an ISFP. And once I've done that, I began to understand and see the deep feelings that she held with her FI, and the facial expressions and moodiness that she sometimes displayed, as well, like working in tandem with extroverted sensing of, you know, her ability to just experience the world in the here and now through her 5 senses and enjoy things in such a way. And that's where her artistic skill or artistic talent, as well as athleticism, probably comes in. And I also noticed the NI, which is that curiosity for knowing the unknown or accessing certain magical information that's fantasy related, with the crystals, and the FI, which somehow in ISFPs plays out as a need to rescue animals for some strange reason, which is from what I've seen. And I think that's pretty amazing. I think it's quite amazing to be that from the age of about 5 years old, I think you can accurately type your child, if you do it properly, of course. And I mean, not that this changed my relationship at all with her, it just allowed me to perceive what's going on in her internal being, and recognize just how different what's going on is for all of us, and how we experience things, how we experience our feelings, how different that is, how we prefer to experience the world, how we see the world, how we learn, and how we grow. And this is so important, because I mean, if this is not taught in schools or even recognized at all anywhere, then I'm sure there'll be a lot more kids that are sort of misplaced, a lot more of us that feel misunderstood. And although that could just be an INFJ thing, maybe we like that, but I really do think that being able to perceive a different worldview to that degree of actually stepping outside of yourself enough to observe somebody else's reality in terms of the way that they are seeing it, and not the way that you would. And I think that is something that I've gained from it, from Myers-Briggs. My partner and I, we've always gotten along. He's an ENTP. There's always been something about our relationship that's always been special. But I find that now I've got a much deeper appreciation and calm for the way that our relationship is going to unfold, what I can expect and what not to get so stressed out about, and do not to get so demanding about, and not come to conclusions, most importantly, about what that could mean for him, because what things mean for us is so different. Like, life will really be different for you depending on what you make it mean, every single situation, and the way that you experience it could be so much more intense than anybody else. I'm able now to sort of step outside and, you know, watch the way that my ENTP partner responds to criticism or conflict, or even grief, so differently to, say, the INFP friends that I've had and family who have this ability to just completely be embodied in that emotion at that moment and focus on nothing else and express it so fully and be so fully aware of it, and also so blissfully, so unaware of any other reality at that moment. So our functions can really take us over in such massive ways that we completely lose ourselves sometimes, and these cognitive function loops that we go into are probably diagnosed by doctors as some sort of mental illness, and then we're put on pills, whereas, you know, there are ways of explaining these things that happen to our brains at certain stages, or when we are over stimulated or overusing certain functions over others. And I'll do an episode definitely on cognitive function loops and cognitive function polarities. I still need to do my type descriptions as well as the functions. I need to describe the functions, the differences between the attitudes, and I will be doing that shortly. But I just wanted to record this as a way to introduce you guys to what this actually does, for you in a way, and it really sticks. So this is how I think the system of Myers-Briggs or Jungian analytical psychology can completely change your life, and will completely change your life if you do choose to pursue it. Everybody's journey is different, of course, and I'd love to hear about yours. If you are not sure about your type, feel free to contact me. You can email me at ange@mbti.co.za and I will get back to you. I offer typing sessions for a very affordable fee, accurate, quick, and entertaining and quite enlightening. So, yeah, thank you for listening, and